The Columbia Workshop, under the direction of Irving Reese, presents Edgar Allan Poe's The Telltale Heart.
Come in. Yes, Wilson?
The patient in 19 is frightfully nervous, Dr. Wilfred.
He'll be all right after the storm breaks.
Yes, Doctor.
You'll learn after you've been at this asylum for a while. But most of the incurably insane are rather susceptible to atmospheric disturbances.
Yes, I suppose so.
The mental condition of some makes them more sensitive than others. Noises bother them. Sometimes they grow quite violent. A man in 19 is especially affected. His mental affliction was caused by an imagined keen sense of hearing.
That's rather odd. You mean that he heard things that other people didn't hear?
Yes. Did you ever stop to think how many little noises are part of our daily lives?
No, sir. I don't believe I ever have.
Well, don't. Or someday you're apt to occupy the room next to number 19. Gets on your nerves after a while. It becomes a habit to listen to these little noises and to make up little stories and songs in their rhythm.
Stories and songs?
Surely. I see you're smiling. You think I'm joking. Well, you've ridden on a railroad train, haven't you?
Why, of course.
Didn't you ever listen to the wheels? Clickety-clack, 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 over and over again. And finally, they begin to talk. And they say, going away, going away, going away.
Well, yes, I guess they do.
The same thing happens with all the other little noises. They begin to talk to you. Ordinary people don't hear them. But to the sensitive ones, these noises talk the livelong day and night.
I'm glad that I'm normal.
But what is normal? It's so hard to tell. There's no dividing line to cling to. You and I have our idiosyncrasies. Who can say whether they should be classed as sane or insane? In the case of these little noises, my nerves are set on edge by the sound of someone drumming with their fingers on the arm of a chair. And I could cheerfully murder the person who sits behind me at a concert and keeps time to the music with his foot on the back of my seat.
Those noises don't bother me very much. But I have spent a good many sleepless nights listening to the sound of water falling in the basin from a leaky tap.
And I've been driven into a frenzy by the sound of an ancient clock that ticked off beat. Now, if these very apparent, very loud sounds bother you and me, can you imagine what they would do to a supersensitive man?
They would probably drive him to murder.
You're right. And the man in number 19 is a murderer.
You're joking, Dr. Wilfred.
Indeed, I'm not. The man in number 19 is one of the chief characters in a very famous murder case that delighted the newspapers several years ago. It was a particularly brutal affair. And as far as the police could learn, there was no motive. The victim was an old man, harmless enough, if you overlook the childish habits that go with old age. He and our patient in 19 lived alone in an old house not far from here. The old man had a little money.
And the motive must have been robbery.
No. No, the motive wasn't robbery. Our patient made no move to run away or to hide the money. Although he did hide the corpse.
And the police found it?
No. No, the police didn't even suspect there was one until our patient confessed.
Why did he do that? To ease his conscience?
Conscience? I should say not. He was overjoyed because the old man was dead.
And why did he tell?
He was betrayed.
Betrayed?
Yes. By one of our little noises. Our little noises that sometimes talk.
What kind of noise?
The sound of a beating heart.
His own heart?
No. The heart of a dead man. The man he had killed and buried under the floor.
That's madness. Hallucination.
Perhaps. Some would call it that. Sometimes I wonder myself what happened in the world he lived in. It was a night much like this when it happened. A heavy, oppressive night. Wet with rain and the echoes of crashing thunder. The old man sat before the fireplace, dozing. The young man tried to ring. But an insistent voice beat an undeniable rhythm in the world's sound and the mind's fury.
Driving me mad, driving me mad. Why won't he die? Die, 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 die. If I but dared, if I but dared. It's his eye, it's his eye. Pale blue eyes, cold as steel.
Is the best time of all. Bones are weary, and sleep is the anodyne that makes them seem young again.
I don't see how you can sleep at night. You nap the whole day long.
Sometimes I'm not really napping. Just close my eyes and think.
Think? Think about what?
Oh, about lots of things. About old things, old times, and old loves. One of the penalties of living so long is that one becomes a desert island surrounded by youth and loneliness.
One could remedy that by dying.
Dying?
Yes.
Strange that you should say that. I've had a premonition for several days that I was going to die.
You mean you're not feeling well?
I never felt better, but it seems as if death were standing at my shoulder, and if I turned suddenly, I should meet him face to face. At night, I have strange dreams.
Dreams?
Yes. I dreamed I heard steps coming up the stairs, slowly, cautiously. Oh, it was so vivid that I even heard that third stair creak. It has for years, you know.
Yes, I know. What else did you dream?
I thought that someone turned the knob of the door. And then, inch by inch, the door was pushed open. Fear gripped my heart and bound my limbs. I could neither move nor cry out. I died a thousand deaths in those minutes.
You must have eaten something that disagreed with you. Did you wake up then?
No. The minutes passed, and there was no further movement from my midnight visitor. I knew I must have been dreaming, and yet it all seemed so real.
Of course you were dreaming. The thief would have to pass me to go up those stairs, and I certainly would have heard him.
Yes, you would have heard him. It was only a dream, of course. The strange thing about it is that I've dreamed that same dream twice.
Twice?
Yes, last night and the night before last.
That is strange.
Very strange.
Perhaps tonight, if you took a sleeping powder.
No. I must not sleep too soundly. If I should dream that dream again, I must be able to awake. If I don't wake, I shall die.
Nonsense. You're taking the whole thing too seriously.
Perhaps. Well, I'm off to bed. And good night.
Good night.
Drive you to madness.
I am the voice of a rat gnawing in the wall.
I am the ghostly creak of the floor. I am the voice of cooling coals in the grate.
Little voices that whisper all through the night.
Little voices that whisper little secrets. The young men sitting here by the fire can hear us.
What is he thinking, voice of the wind on the shutter?
He's thinking of murder, voice of the rain on the door.
Murder? Who is going to die? Voice of a curtain in the wind. The old man who sleeps at the top of the stairs. Voice of the flame in the lamp. The hour is here, voice of the wind in the chimney.
The young man is pale. He starts for the stairs.
Who is that invisible figure who walks behind the voice of the rain on the roof?
His companion is death, voice of the rain on the coals.
Why did you cry out, voice of the creek in the steps.
Because a murderer stepped on me. Voice of the years in the walls. The young man and death are at the old man's door.
Why did you scream, voice of the knob on the door?
Because I was touched by a murderer's hand. Voice of rain on the roof.
The young man opens the door slowly. So slowly.
Why did you groan, voice of the hinge on the door?
To warn the old man that a murderer enters. Voice of damp in the floor. The young man moves slowly towards the bed. His hands are outstretched.
The old man still sleeps. Our voices cannot wake him.
Death will wake him.
Watch him to eternal sleep. Wake him to wake no more.
Wake him to...
Over, voice of the raindrops on the coals. Over, voice of the years in the walls.
Over, voice of the shutter in the wind.
The old man is dead.
The old man is dead. Dead.
Dead.
Dead.
I'm coming.
Well, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
We're sorry to disturb you. We're from the police. The neighbors asked us to investigate.
Police? Well, what is it they want investigated?
They reported to us shortly after midnight. They were awakened by a scream.
A scream? What kind of a scream?
They said it sounded as if someone were being murdered.
Murdered? Are you joking?
I'm only telling you what they said. They believe that the scream came from this house.
Why, that's impossible. There's no one here except myself. And I'm sure that I didn't scream. Oh, wait a minute, though. I did have a bad dream. Perhaps I cried out before I awakened.
Perhaps. You say that you live here all alone?
Yes.
The neighbors told us that the house was occupied by two people. One of them an old man.
Oh. I guess they must have meant my uncle. He used to live here with me.
Where is he now?
His health wasn't very good. I sent him away to the country for the summer.
How long ago was that?
About 2 days ago. Yes, last Wednesday it was, I believe.
I see. Do you mind if we look around?
Well,
not that we suspect you of any wrongdoing, but it's customary to make an inspection.
Certainly, come right in.
Thanks.
Since my nosy neighbors believe me guilty of some foul crime, I shall be glad to have you establish my innocence. Right this way, please.
Right.
Mind the step there. The house isn't very large, so it won't take much of your time. Now, this is the living room.
I see.
Those steps lead up to the upper part of the house, and that door over there opens on a passage that goes to the kitchen and the basement.
Hmm, right.
Suppose that we sit here by the fire and have a glass of wine while your men look the place over.
That sounds like an excellent idea. Russell, you take this floor. Adams can take the one above.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, will you have one of these cigars, officer? I can recommend them very highly.
Hmm. Yeah, thank you.
My uncle was very fond of them, but he had to give up smoking.
Why was that?
He had some trouble breathing. Oh, don't strike that match there, please!
Why not? I wasn't going to mar the furniture.
It isn't that. But my uncle used to always scratch matches in that identical place. It makes a rasping noise that sets my nerves on edge. Sometimes I thought I'd go crazy hearing that sound.
Why didn't you tell him not to do it?
I don't know. I don't know why, but little noises have always bothered me. That clock there, for instance.
I'm going to let it run down. Then it'll never annoy me again. And I shall be free of one more torment.
It seems a shame to let such a fine timepiece stand idle. It's very old, isn't it?
Yes, it's a family heirloom. My uncle was very fond of it. That's his picture up there on the wall.
Hmm? Oh. Fine-looking old gentleman.
I suppose so. It flatters him a bit. The artist didn't paint his subject truly.
Is that so?
Yes. Your wine, officer.
Oh, thank you.
Your health.
And yours.
Listen. Do you hear anything?
I hear Adams moving about upstairs.
No. Something in this room.
Oh, you must have sharper ears than I have.
Probably only my imagination. As I was saying, the artist who painted that portrait was very kind to my uncle. He didn't catch the cold blue of his eyes. And one of them had a peculiar cast in it and was covered with a film.
Indeed?
Yes. My blood ran cold every time he looked at me. I hated that eye.
Well, I suppose such an affliction would bother one after a time. You say your uncle will be away all summer.
Yes. And then again, he may be where I sent him for a long, long time. We can have some more wine. It'll warm you up a bit. It's rather chilly.
Chilly? Why, I'm warm as toast.
Are you? Perhaps I've caught a bit of a cold. Had some anyway.
Yeah, thank you.
Everything all right downstairs, sir?
Right.
Nothing suspicious? No bodies lying around? No bloodstains on the kitchen floor? What a disappointment that'll be to my dear neighbors. Let's see, you're Russell, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Well, Russell, have a glass of wine with us. Detecting crimes must be rather dry work.
Oh, thank you very much.
Not at all. Here, pour it yourself. I believe the other bloodhound is finished, too, and is coming down the stairs. Yes, and from the sound of his footsteps, I'm afraid his report is going to be just as disappointing.
Well, Adams?
Nothing disturbed upstairs, sir.
I must apologize to all you gentlemen for having wasted your time.
I don't call it a waste of time when we've discovered what excellent wine you keep in your decanter.
I'm glad you feel that way about it. And you've all been so agreeable that I'm going to make you a promise. If I ever do commit a murder, I shall be arrested by no other policeman.
Well, we'll be very happy to oblige. If you'll just send us notice in time.
Come, Adams. There's something left in that decanter. Help yourself.
Oh, thank you, sir.
It's all right. You won't know this place, gentlemen, if you ever come again. I'm going to completely rebuild it.
But why?
The house is old. It's full of little noises. You probably noticed how that third stair creaks when you step on it.
Yes, but that could be fixed easily.
Perhaps, but the noise might return. No, the entire stairway must be rebuilt. The whole house must be rebuilt to get rid of the little noises. Like the one you hear now.
What one? I don't hear anything.
You don't hear that steady beating sound? Like a watch wrapped in cotton. That dull, rhythmic, sickening sound?
No. No, I hear nothing at all.
I can hear it. That's why the house must be torn down and built again. It must have all new hardware. The knob on that door upstairs makes a grating sound. And the hinge rasps when the door is slowly opened.
Seems like a lot of needless expense when they could be silenced with a little oil.
Yes, but they would be the same hinge and lock. And sooner or late, they would rasp and grate again. But more important than all those noises is the one that's in this room. That beating sound that's growing louder and louder as we sit here. Can't you hear it? Can't you feel it? If it isn't stopped, I'll go mad.
Really, sir, I think you've had too much wine. Or perhaps you're ill. I think you should go to bed.
Yes, come. I'll help you up the stairs and you can lie down.
No. The stairs will creak and that lock will grate. That hinge will rasp. And that noise, that deadly beating noise will follow me to beat itself into my dream.
But, my dear sir, there is no noise such as you describe.
Can't hear it?
No. And you, Adams?
No, sir.
How about you, Russell?
I can't hear a thing, sir.
There. Now, you see?
You're laughing at me. You're torturing me. You're making me believe that you don't hear it so that I'll confess.
Confess? Confess what?
What that sound is, and from where it comes.
My dear young man, you're working yourself into a frenzy. I think we better leave you to yourself.
No, no, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone with that.
What are you talking about?
You can hear it as well as I can. You've all heard it from the minute you entered this house. You're mocking me. You've been laughing at my terror. All the time you've been sitting here, you've heard it and exulted. Waited for me to break down. What kind of men are you to sit there and talk to a man like this?
My dear sir, we have...
You know that I was guilty when you locked on that door. You looked for blood in my hands when I opened it. I saw you. And I saw how disappointed you were when you saw that there was spotless.
Well, see here,
I threw you off the scent for a moment as we stood at the door talking. You thought for a moment that you were wrong. And then from within the house... You heard the sound that convinced her that you were right.
What sound are you talking about?
The same sound that we hear now. The same sound that's growing louder every minute. I saw the smile of triumph that crossed your face when your ear first detected it. I saw the smirk that rested on the faces of your men. Then you asked if you might come in. Not because you suspected me. Oh, no. But because it was customary in such cases. You wanted to see just how cool you could be. You wanted to see how much I would suffer. You stayed here with me and sent your men to search the house, to pretend to search the house, because you knew where it was. They played their parts well. They made all the little noises that set my shattered nerves on edge. The creak of the stairs, the grate of the lock, the rasp of the hinge. But you stayed here with me to listen to that loudest noise of all, to torture me.
Torture? What are you getting at?
That beating, that accursed beating. It grows louder, louder, louder. If you were stone deaf, you could hear it. For it shrieked murder, murder, murder.
Oh, you're mad.
Of course I'm mad. Get me away from here. Take me anywhere you like. Do anything you please with me. Hang me, cut off my head, kill me. If you have any mercy at all, stop that sound of that heart.
We don't know what you're talking about.
Liars, villains, dissemble no more. I admit the deed. I killed the old man. Tear up those planks under that chair. There you'll find his body. Take it away. Take it away. And stop the beating of that hideous heart.
Wilson is the story of our patient in number 19. A murderer betrayed by the beating of his own heart, which he alone could hear. You see, he thought it was the beating of the heart of the dead man whom he'd buried under the floor.
Did they find the body of the old man?
Yes, he showed them exactly where it was hidden. Helped them take up the planks, frantic, laughing, crying, babbling incoherently. At the trial, he seemed eager to confess his guilt, seeming to believe that confession would still the horrible sound that still beat in his ears. They judged him insane, which he was, and committed him to our asylum, though I believe that death would have been more merciful. He goes on living in perpetual torment, plagued by the little noises, and all the while in his rotting brain beats the hideous rhythm of that long-stilled heart.
The Columbia Workshop has presented The Telltale Heart, Edgar Allan Poe's famous story, which was dramatized for radio by Charles Tazewell. A special musical score was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann. Irving Reis directed. The Telltale Heart effect, which you heard, was an actual human heartbeat amplified more than 10 billion times. The Workshop is always interested in receiving your suggestions, comments, and criticisms of its work. If you have a favorite story which you would like to have broadcast and which you think would lend itself to unusual radio treatment, write a note to the director of the Columbia Workshop, Columbia Network, New York City. Tune in next week for another workshop presentation. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.